your Locked On Panthers, your daily podcast on the Florida Panthers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to the Monday, November 29th edition of Locked On Panthers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, where it's your team every day. This is a daily podcast where we talk about all things Florida Panthers. I'm Armando Velez from PantherBarkway.com. You can follow me on Twitter at WandaMan12. You can follow the show account on Twitter at LO_FLAPanthers. You can follow the national show Locked On NHL and the Crosscheck NHL show with Andrew Berkshire and Mary Clark. We'll be covering all the regular season activities around the National Hockey League. So, remember when I said on Friday, the episode when if you are to stop the top line of the Washington Capitals, that you'll find a way to win? Well, easier said than done, right? Against the best goal scorer this game has ever seen. Because at this rate right now with Alexander Ovechkin getting a hat trick against the Florida Panthers, which I'm looking up right now as we speak, how many goals he scored against each team. I think the Florida Panthers are actually up there because because of the fact that they used to be in a division with each other. And I'm going to say this quickly because I don't want to spend too much time on how much Ovi has scored against each individual team. But this article from February of 2020 has Florida in the top four of goals scored against most by Alexander Ovechkin. And that was 39 at the time in this article of February 2020, and they didn't even play last season. Tampa Bay and Carolina are also up there, and Toronto in that top five, based on they used to be in a Southeastern division together with Carolina in the mix, and of course Tampa Bay is still in that mix with Florida. But yeah, many games that Alexander Ovechkin has played against the Florida Panthers and added three more to that list, and Ovi even did that again on Sunday against the Carolina Hurricanes, where they beat Carolina 4-2. Ovi scores again. And the Washington Capitals, despite being very top line reliant, because Tom Wilson scored in that game as well against the Florida Panthers, they are now leading the Metropolitan Division in points percentage. So quietly, well, not really quietly, but with the dominance that Alexander Ovechkin has been playing, with not only getting a lot of goals, but a lot of assists, more known as a goal scorer than a distributor. But one thing about Friday's game, the first end of a back-to-back, is rhythm. When it comes to the Florida Panthers' rhythm, especially for goalies, as if you did not watch the game on Friday, Sergei Bobrovsky got hit in the head on the shorthanded goal by Tom Wilson, which was the Florida Panthers' second shorthanded goal given up this season. The first one was against the Philadelphia Flyers on October 23rd. And shortly after in that game, the Florida Panthers got a shorthanded goal themselves, that turnover by Keith Yandel that Florida Panthers' Twitter was raving about, that gave the Florida Panthers the lead. But their second shorthanded goal, their power play continues to be a little bit of an issue, despite breaking their drought on the power play just on Wednesday against Philly. The power play struggled once again this whole weekend. Friday, they go 0-3 on the power play. And rhythm, once again, rhythm. Sergei Bobrovsky gets hit in the head. They take him out. Spencer Knight comes in, and Ovi licks his chops and sees that Spencer Knight is inserted right into the game, and finds a way to get one past him shortly after he's inserted into the game. And in the second period alone, the Caps get three goals in 2 minutes and 12 seconds. So, yeah, when you give up three goals in 2 minutes and 12 seconds of time in between goalie changes as well, that is not a recipe for success, for sure. And one positive, though, about this is that Sam Reinhart did get on the board in this one. And this is a player that I've been a little tough on based on the fact that the Florida Panthers did give him a pretty decent-sized contract after trading for him from the Buffalo Sabres, gave up a first-round pick for him, gave him around $6 million AAV for his new deal. And the acquisition of Reinhart becoming on the first line at first and shifted down to the third, and then going back to the second now with Barkov's injury, Reinhart hasn't really found his rhythm on this team. And of course, it's a new team. He's getting familiar with it, and getting a 6.5 AAV so far, he hasn't really found that rhythm for himself. But hey, he found the back of the net on Friday against Washington, brought the score down to 3-2. Ovi gets another one, and then the Florida Panthers did make this one interesting at the end. But of course, when you give up three goals in 2 minutes and 12 seconds, it's not the chances of coming back from that one is highly unlikely. And for that, the three stars of the game was everyone on their top line for the Washington Capitals, and it's the best top line in the NHL, in the whole league. And good luck trying to stop this guy and this line, excuse me. And this is a team without TJ Oshie and Nicholas Backstrom. And the Florida Panthers have a quick turnaround because they're facing this team again for the final time this season, like I mentioned on Friday's episode. So that is a turnaround that the Florida Panthers really need to look at this game and really adjust quickly to find a way to stop this top line. Easier said than done, though. In the next segment, we're going to go over Saturday's game against Chris Drieger, Alex Wenberg, and the Seattle Kraken. So keep it right here on Locked On Panthers, your first listen of the day. Does this sound familiar? You got one device that lets you catch all the games live? Another that lets you stream your favorite shows? You're watching sports highlights on your phone, and you got your neighbor's best friend's login for the good stuff? Well, I want to tell you about a simple way to get all that entertainment you love without the hassle, and a great way to finally get your TV together. It's called DirecTV Stream. It brings your live TV and on-demand favorites together like never before, so you can watch your favorite sports, movies, and shows all in one place. That means no more juggling remotes and no need to buy another device ever again. And the best part, there's no annual contract. So get rid of the clutter and the confusion and get your TV together with DirecTV Stream. You can learn more at DirecTV.com. That's DirecTV.com. Compatible devices required. Content varies by package. Second segment here on the Locked On Florida Panthers podcast. On Saturday, the Florida Panthers faced off against the Seattle Kraken, the newly expansion team in the NHL. Seattle Kraken, who, as far as their pick in the expansion draft, Chris Drieger was part of it, becoming a UFA, signing him in that period. That made him the pick for the Florida Panthers, and the Cats weren't in the position that they were in the Vegas expansion draft, where the Golden Knights got Riley Smith and Jonathan Marchessault at the time due to Dale Tallon's mismanagement. But also the Seattle Kraken were able to acquire Alex Wenberg. The Florida Panthers helped him get paid. And I was very fortunate to drive down to FLA Live Arena on Saturday night to witness this game in person. And when Chris Drieger was announced as the starter for the Seattle Kraken, 10 minutes before the game, around there, there was a nice little ovation as the crowd was starting to kick in to FLA Live Arena. The perception of this Seattle Kraken team when they first formed on paper was that they were going to be a very defensive-heavy team with probably a lack of scoring on offense. So, but it's been anything but that for the Seattle Kraken so far in this season. But here's the thing, and this is something that Andrew Burnett talked about after the game, about playing on expansion teams. These people play hard every single night, and I was very fortunate to sit in with in the presser when Andrew Burnett talked about that, about how he was part of it. And I also think about something that George Richards brought up on Saturday, is that the Seattle Kraken, despite not being off to a great start, despite being an expansion team, as of late, they've been beating some teams that you would call contenders in the Eastern Conference. Their out-of-conference games have come up with dubs for the Seattle Kraken. They beat Washington 5-2, I believe. They beat Carolina, a game that I stayed up for the night before Thanksgiving. I watched that one. And then the game that I witnessed on Saturday against the Florida Panthers, where they beat the Panthers handily, 4-1 at home. And the Florida Panthers, they knew what they had on the other side of Chris Drieger. And Chris Drieger hasn't even had the best season this year so far. He had a little bit of a short stint on IR early on. And the Florida Panthers just knew what they were having. It was only Drieger's fourth game too this season, where now he's 1-2-0, 3.47 goals against average, and an .870 save percentage. But even before the game, you saw the numbers weren't there for Chris Drieger. Something that Aaron Brown and I spoke about after the game is that it's not really much of a surprise that Chris Drieger performed the way he did, because number one, this is the guy who led the team in shutouts last year. And we knew that this was a guy that wasn't going to be kept on the roster and who was going to get his payday. And eventually he did get his payday for the Seattle Kraken. And he was coming back home to a team that helped him become the goalie that he was. And that the game had a little bit of a purpose for someone like Chris Drieger and Alex Wennberg as well, despite only playing 1 year here in Florida. But this was a game that there was a little bit of a purpose for the Seattle Kraken and Chris Drieger. And like very early on in this one, where Jonathan Huberdeau had a breakaway on Chris Drieger, and then the five hole was closed for Chris Drieger. And I was thinking to myself, oh, it's going to be that type of night where Chris Drieger was stopping pucks. But also, Andrew Burnett talked about it after the game as well, where they weren't creating too much traffic up front. As you saw, the Seattle Kraken got a power play goal early by Jordan Eberle, a former New York Islander who they picked up in the expansion draft. And that's a guy that the Islanders could use right now. They're missing someone like Jordan Eberle. And the only goal in this game was because Patrick Hornquist was in a typical spot where he tips in pucks, which is something you see very often with someone like Patrick Hornquist. And if you look at shot charts from naturalstattrick.com and you see where the goals were in all situations on Natural Stat Trick, you'll see that every single Kraken goal was somewhere in the low slot, clogging the areas and putting pressure on Spencer Knight. And of course, I don't put all those goals on Spencer Knight. Radko Gudas had a really bad turnover that created that third goal of the game by Jordan Eberle. Oleksiak gets that empty netter goal. Of course, that one's not on Spencer Knight. But also, yes, the faceoff circle, it's not the end-all be-all, but going into the third period, it was 82-18 in favor of Seattle. And the Panthers, I asked myself, when is that going to cost them in games where they're in their offensive zone, they pull the goalie and they're down and they need to have possession or to get a shot? And of course, it shouldn't come down to late game situations where you're down in order to get something off, but sometimes you're going to need to win one in that situation in order to put some pressure on a goalie and to find a way to tie the game even when you don't play your best hockey. And of course, the Florida Panthers outshot the Seattle Kraken in this one, but it doesn't tell the whole story. The quality of shots that they got, like, you didn't see much of them clogging the slot. And there were many times where I saw not so crisp passes, one and dones. Jonathan Huberdeau had an opportunity on a rush and put a pass on to Sam Reinhart, who was at the right faceoff circle and even couldn't get that pass off. And it goes right behind the goalie and just doesn't create the opportunity that they want on that one. Owen Tippett in the low slot had a point blank miss right in front of Chris Drieger. And at that point, I just threw my hands up and say, it's not these guys' night. And no pun intended with Spencer Knight. But it was just not their night. They just didn't find a way to put any huge pressure on Chris Drieger. And this was a night, and of course Friday night as well, where you miss Alexander Barkov and Anthony Duclair. Anthony Duclair was a scratch early on Friday, which I didn't mention in the first segment, which Alexi Hepaniemi was recalled on Saturday, wasn't even in warmups, sent back down on Sunday to Charlotte, and then recalled today along with Matt Kierstead. Also, Gus Forsling was recalled, placed on IR while Matt Kierstead was recalled. And I looked at the shift chart on Natural Stat Trick as well, and Gus Forsling finished the game. He was on the ice for that empty netter goal by Jamie Oleksiak. So I'm kind of wondering what's triggering for Gus Forsling as he's headed to IR. But Matt Kierstead is back. That likely means that Brandon Montour is shifted up to the second pairing. And it's going to be likely Montour Gudas on that second pairing for the Florida Panthers. And you're going to see more minutes emphasized definitely on that top four for the Cats. So the Florida Panthers, they're hurting right now. They're missing their captain. There's still opportunities There's still opportunities to catch some wins in some of these games with Barkov out. And this is a injury for him and Duke that the Florida Panthers could possibly survive in the short term. Long term, no. No way in hell. But short term, they could still find ways to win. They could even still beat Washington, believe it or not, at least once in the regular season. In the 7-game series, not so much. I'm not placing any bets if Alexander Barkov were out against this Washington Capitals team in a 7-game series. But the Florida Panthers are at home against Washington, and we'll get more into that in segment number 3. But both times that the Florida Panthers faced the Washington Capitals, of course, both of them were one-goal games. The first time you lead 4-1 and you blow that lead, almost blowing it completely. And one thing those two games had in common were multiple goalie changes. Sergei Bobrovsky exited early in the first one, and Spencer Knight finished it. And then it was the back and forth in the third one, in this most recent one. So that's a little bit of a theme that both of those had in common. So not the best weekend for the Florida Panthers, as they went 0-2-2 in that back-to-back. And back-to-backs have been really rough for this Florida Panthers team, as they haven't really only split the points on back-to-backs once this season, and that was Andrew Brunette's first two games where they were at Detroit and then at Boston. And then the most recent back-to-backs, they've gone pointless in both of them. The one against New York and Jersey, and then this one with Washington and Seattle back at home. So something of a little bit of a trend for this Florida Panthers team so far in this season, where back-to-backs haven't been their friend. But of course, they're a hockey team. They're not going to make excuses. They're going to come out and say that they, regardless of travel, regardless of where they are, that they have to be ready to perform for whichever opponent comes to town or wherever they go to. In the next segment, we're going to talk about what's wrong with the power play for this Florida Panthers team. So keep it right here on Locked On Panthers, your first listen of the day. It's here, the best Monday of the year, Cyber Monday, and Built.com is the place to aim your mouse. Get at least 20% off everything delicious and healthy. That's 20% off site-wide, and even bigger discounts on Built Boost, Broth, and Built Swag. A brand new Built Bar flavor has landed in time for Cyber Monday, Caramel Almond Delight, and it delivers everything it promises. Caramelized chocolate, check. Almonds, check. Delightful, double check. And be sure to get yours before they're gone. 150 calories and 17 grams of protein. And this season, maybe you're craving white chocolate. For a limited time, get a special new Built Bar Puff flavor. White chocolate cheesecake. The yummy protein treat filled with marshmallow center covered in white chocolate with 140 calories and 17 grams of protein. Tis the season to save and to give your taste buds the gift of Built Bar. Go to Built.com and use these incredible tasting new bars and get 20% off everything. Head to Built.com. Enter code LOCK20 before it's too late. It's the holiday season, and we all know what that means. Football. And nothing goes better with football than all the great food and betting. BetOnline has you covered all holiday season. More props, odds, and lines than better before. BetOnline remains the number one spot for all of the sports action this holiday season. Head to our new updated desktop or mobile website to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus with promo code LOCKEDON to receive your bonus. It's not just football. BetOnline has pro and college hoops, NHL, boxing, UFC, and even your favorite Vegas casino games. Don't wait to take advantage of all the offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. BetOnline, we're stuffed with deals this holiday season. Third segment here on the Locked On Florida Panthers podcast, as the Florida Panthers come off an 0-2-0 back-to-back this past weekend against Seattle and Washington. And one thing I didn't even mention until just now is that the Florida Panthers on Saturday night had a opportunity to break the record, go 12-0-0 at home for the first time in NHL history, which the Florida Panthers were unable to do, but still a great accomplishment and setting themselves up very nicely still, regardless, in this division, which they're looking this up as we speak. They are just 2 points behind Toronto in the Atlantic. Toronto won yesterday, but they have two games in hand. And of course, the whole games in hand thing probably triggers a lot of Florida Panthers fans based on especially the Bob Bugner era of them catching up, playing the game of catch up. But this Florida Panthers team is not the Bob Bugner led teams and Bob Bugner and Dale Tallon led teams from just a few years ago. So I'm not freaking out. The sky is not falling. The Florida Panthers were doing this without Duke and Barkov. And I firmly believe that, and I said this in the previous segment, this is where you miss your captain, your probably your fastest skater as well, changing up the game, changing up the speed. Whenever you need that goal. You go up to two of your top players in the forward group that could get you that momentum changing goal. And that's what Barkov and Duke bring to the table. And none of their injuries are short term. I mean, Barkov's on IR because it's retroactive, but it took a while for the Florida Panthers to even put him on IR. So, and he was skating last week before. He was skating this morning before practice as well. And gonna check my feed as we speak about whether he's actually participating in practice. But he was skating. Alexander Barkov was skating before the practice even began at the Panthers ice den. So nothing says that that Barkov has participated in practice. He's just skating before. So no updates on Barkov's injury. But with Alexi Heponiemi recalled from Charlotte and Matt Kierstead recalled as well, with Gus Forsling going on IR, Duke still being out, it must mean that Duke is probably going to miss one more game. The Florida Panthers take on the Washington Capitals on Tuesday. And again, it took a while for the Panthers to put Barkov on IR, but Heppo is probably a guy who you're going to place on that third line, because Maxim Mammon, great story that he came back from the KHL after spending 3 or 4 seasons over there trying to make a comeback outside of the core three. Outside of the core three, he's the only player left from the Tom Rowe era of the Florida Panthers, but he's just not cutting it. He's going to be a UFA this offseason, and the chances of him being brought back for this Florida Panthers team is highly unlikely at this point. He was placed on the top line on Friday's game against Washington, and the rhythm was just not there, and immediately after one game, they put Tippett on that top line. And it was basically the second line being the top line for the Florida Panthers, everyone shifting up. So that's throwing more things off. The third line with Lundell, Reinhardt, and of course, in this case, Verhaeghe, which he's probably maybe could be on the top line when Barkov comes back, probably on the second line with Bennett and Tippett, probably in when Barkov does come back. There's so many line combinations you could do, but basically, the second line is being asked to be the first line in this one. And of course, the second line is very capable of scoring. But when everyone shifted up and most of the team's top line players are out, it's going to throw some things off. And that's what I think is really what's going on with this Florida Panthers team. And I teased in the previous segment that even the power play, asking myself what's wrong with the power play. They broke their drought on Wednesday against the Philadelphia Flyers. They go 0-3, and then they go 0-1. They go 0-3 on Friday, 0-1 on Saturday. And in my notes for Saturday's game, I literally wrote in all caps, no pun intended, because they played Washington on Friday. But for Seattle's game, because I was in the press box and I can't yell in the press box, I can't react. But I literally wrote in my notebook in all caps, two passive. And this was what I was saying, that I believe they only got off one power play shot. I'm looking this up as I speak, but I didn't see many power play shots on that one. And yep, it was one power play shot that they had on Saturday, and it was from the point, if I remember correctly, and trying for a deflection. But the Florida Panthers, they're not clogging up the slot in the power play as well. They're not successfully getting their tip-ins right in front of the net. And when Barkov was out, Duke was asked to fulfill that role on the right side on the circle for the one-timer, where Barkov is just great at. Duke was asked to be placed on that unit when Barkov got hurt, and then now Duke is hurt. Didn't play any of the back-to-backs. So that just throws, once again, so many things off. And I think that also had a lot to do with why the Florida Panthers gave up the shorty on Friday against Washington. So just a lot of things thrown off, along with the goalie back and forth on Friday. And, of course, not Bobrovsky's fault. The referees called for it. And, of course, we're talking about player safety here. And as a referee myself, I have to, if I see that something is wrong, I have to my discretion, I have to tell the coaches, hey, you got to take them out to fix an issue with it. And Bobrovsky was able to come back. But at the same time, in that one, I was thinking, okay, if this is this much back and forth, you got to stick to one and let the game finish with one instead of this whole back and forth. But this Panthers team, it was just a rough stretch for them, and they're going to get healthier, hopefully, and they have some games on their schedule, which you could still find a way to beat Washington in the short term, not in a 7-game series, like I said earlier, and you have that luxury of being at home. And one thing that Tyler Cool of Locked On Capitals talked about is that he doesn't remember a time where the Caps have been outshot really at all this season. And both of those games against the Caps, they've been outshot both times by Washington. And 22 shots in Friday's game, a stat that's unlike the Florida Panthers, that they get that many shots on goal. Usually it's way more than that, and usually it's way more high danger scoring chances. But this is one of the lumps. It's only their second losing streak of the season, and we're a quarter of the way through the season, and they're still leading the division in points percentage. So nothing to worry about really for this Florida Panthers team, as they Washington Tuesday, Buffalo Thursday, and then a matinee matchup against the St. Louis Blues. They'll be having a home-and-home series against the St. Louis Blues on Saturday, and then next week in St. Louis. So a little bit of a different part of the schedule where they'll have that home-and-home against the Blues. So the Florida Panthers continue their homestand. 11-1-0 at home. Would you take that? If I asked you at the beginning of the season about 11-1-0 at home, you would not be mad about that. It's just a matter of you had an opportunity to break the record. You start that first 11 comes as wins. And then they crap the bed against one of the worst teams in the NHL. But like I said, Chris Drieger had a purpose coming into this game. And the Florida Panthers, just as far as the style of play for the Seattle Kraken, they found a way to not allow the Florida Panthers to get opportunities in front of the net. And you got to give credit to Seattle in that one. You also got to give credit to Washington for taking advantage of the goalie changes back and forth, where they scored 3 goals in 2 minutes and 12 seconds. So they capitalize on the mistakes. They capitalize on the injuries as well for the Florida Panthers. And the Florida Panthers just got to hope that they get a little healthier as this week comes, with three home games, before they get back on the road. And hey, maybe this is an opportunity to, as Joe Thornton said at the end in his press conference on Saturday night, to start a new streak for this Florida Panthers team. So if you like what you're hearing, please subscribe to the podcast and be notified every single time the Locked On Florida Panthers podcast jumps into your podcast feed. Make sure to subscribe to Locked On NHL and the Crosscheck NHL Show with Andrew Berkshire and Mary Clark, where they'll be covering all the regular season activities around the National Hockey League. And when you're done listening to this episode of Locked On Panthers, make sure to listen to today's episode of Locked On Bets, your one-stop shop for all things bets. Locked On Bets, hosted by your boy Q and handicapping expert Lee Sterling. Make sure to follow the Locked On Bets podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you
get podcasts. So I'm Armando Velez, signing off. And you've been listening to the Locked On Florida Panthers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, where it's your team. Every day.